Yo, 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 what's up? Welcome back to Inside the Lunchbox with your boy, Chef Mac. We're back again for episode 2. We're going to complete our 5-part series of the mother sauces. How's everybody doing today? Hopefully everybody's doing well. I'm doing okay. Can't complain. Sitting here and enjoying some family time with my son for his birthday weekend. Took him out to the deer lease. When I could say it was pretty cold this weekend, it was pretty cold. The electricity was out up at the deer camp this weekend. So, like I said last show, we had a storm. It was kind of like a winter freeze. So it kind of took out our electricity and froze our pipes up there. So the pipes were burst, and the electricity was out. So we did have to do everything in the dark on Friday night, and plus we didn't have any heat. So inside our trailer was extremely cold. Of course, we had blankets. It was extremely cold. I know I was freezing. I know my son was freezing. But, I mean, I had fun. I just did it just to spend some time with my kid. I don't think he appreciated it too much. Kind of cold. But nevertheless, it was father and son time for his birthday, which is today, Sunday, February the 5th. He is 17 years old, and he is trying to follow in his father's footsteps with his coming to cooking. I see it. Sometimes I don't, but, you know, I think he's going to be a great cook when he gets older. He has a culinary competition in Florida in the next couple months. He's going to be competing against kids all over the world coming to the Epcot Center in Orlando, Florida. I think it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great experience. It's going to be on national TV, so definitely check this out. I'll give you guys dates and more info about it probably next time on the next show or the next episode. But nevertheless, we're here today to go over a few things. We're going to go over I'm not going to say top 5 black restaurants in Houston, but since it is Black History Month, we're going to go over a few black-owned restaurants here in Houston. I haven't necessarily been to these restaurants yet. I have heard some good reviews on some of these. I haven't heard any reviews on it, but one day I'm going to take a trip down there and we're going to do a review, and we're going to have a whole segment on reviews of Houston restaurants. That's definitely coming soon. So let's dive right on in. So, first restaurant is called Phil and Derek's Restaurant. Phil and Derek's Restaurants is a popular black restaurant located at 1701 Webster Street, Houston, Texas. They have live music, and they accompany that with Southern Cajun Creole food. Sounds very, very delicious. I was actually looking up their website not too long ago. Their food looks really, really good. Phil and Derek's Restaurants also has dining options such as, you know, they do like brunch, lunch, dinner, desserts, and they even have seating dining options so you can actually sit in, enjoy your food, kick it with your family, kick it with your friends. They also serve spirits, alcohol, beer. So if you want to go there and have a couple beers with your homeboys, or your homegirls, or have your girls' night out or your boys' night out, definitely might be a place for you guys to go. Comfort food, happy hour. I think they're open like a late night for like a late night food, spirits. So definitely check it out. It's called Phil and Derek's Restaurant. This is probably going to be one of the first ones I go to here real soon. But like I said, Phil and Derek's Restaurant 1701 Webster Street in Houston, Texas. Now, if you guys don't know, Houston, Texas is the home of 10,000 restaurants. Hey, Xavier, did you know that Houston is the home of 10,000 restaurants? No. You didn't know that? Okay, now you know. So I'm up here doing a podcast, and my son is up here playing, what is this, Dynasty, Destiny?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yeah, so I'm up here doing my podcast, and he's playing Star Wars. How convenient. He should be practicing on his art. But it's all good. All right, so the next restaurant, this one is, I'm not going to say very unique, but the name kind of speaks for itself. It's called the Blue Nile. It's actually an Ethiopian-style restaurant, and it's located on 3030 Audley Street, Houston, Texas. They do like classical Ethiopian cuisines. And then Injera, I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not a big fan of it, but I mean, I'll definitely go try it out. They do a lot of homemade soul food, Ethiopian style soul food. So yeah, definitely check out the Blue Nile in Houston, Texas. If you're down for the African culture, African food, Ethiopian cuisine, definitely go down there and check it out. So I do have a story. When I worked in Kuwait, I was a contractor for a company called Triple Canopy, and we had a live-in nanny for both my boys. While I was at work, she would take care of them. Great lady. To this day, I still keep in contact with her through social media. She took care of my kids really, really good. Her name is TG. So, TG, if you ever get a hold of this podcast, giving you a shout out, you were amazing. Amazing lady. And when I tell you she can cook, oh my God. Like, I would come home from work and she would have a whole spread of food. Like, so much food, like six people could eat off of it and probably even more. So I'm just getting off work, like, you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much food here. It was so delicious, so good. I'll be so full going to bed, which is a bad thing to do, to be full and go right to sleep. That's how you gain some weight. But it was good. She was very nice. She took really good care of my kids. Kids never went without. She constantly cooked for them. Took care of Ivan and Zaven very well. Yeah, shout out to TG. She has her own son now. So congratulations on that, Miss TG. Hopefully we'll see you soon. But yeah, so one day. So check this out. So one day, I'm coming home from work, and I think this is probably like I said, she was a great person, but one day I came in from work, and she was making, like, Ethiopian-style coffee. The aroma is really, really strong, and I go in there, and I'm like, oh, man, she's making coffee, and, you know, the way that they make coffee is kind of different. Like, they get the coals, and they place the ceramic, I guess, coffee pot on the coals, and that's how they heat the coffee up. And they're in there drinking it. And I walked by and I seen my my youngest son sipping some coffee like he's at a fine dining restaurant or sipping some tea and crumpets. And I walked by and I looked. I said, TG, is that coffee? She's like, yes. I'm like, let's not give the kids coffee. I don't need him running around. I don't need him running around like a chicken with his head cut off, you know, and she kind of knew I was kind of upset. But at the same time, she was looking at me like, well, I'm here with him throughout the day. So why do you care if he's running around like a wild animal, you know? But, you know, I told her, you know, it's some things that we don't do. And that was she let my son have some coffee. But he was only like 3 years old. But nevertheless, she was a great person. Looking back at it, it was really, really funny. But yeah. So next restaurant. This one is called Mickey's or Micah's. No, Mickey's. Soul Food Cafe. That sounds good. Some real good soul food. Sounds good right now. There's also a black restaurant located at 10500 West Belfort Avenue, Suite 100, Houston, Texas. Definitely go and check that out. What to eat at Mickey's Soul Food Cafe? Well, you think of Southern food. You're thinking collard greens, pork chops, Southern comfort food. You're thinking of all that, right? Yep, she definitely has it there. So definitely go check out her pork chops, smothered pork chops, beef steak, baked tilapia, Alfredo tilapia, and turkey wings. I bet those turkey wings are off the chain. Yeah, so definitely check those restaurants out. They sound really good, and their price is really reasonable. I think the highest one was around $30 a plate, but they also were fairly cheap. So, I mean, these restaurants, I picked out pretty reasonable ones where you can go there and actually hang out. Some of them have outside seating, so if you want to enjoy the outside seating during the day, you could definitely do that. Even in Texas, you could enjoy outside seating even at night because it's still hot here in Texas. So, yeah, definitely check out those restaurants. Phil and Derek's, Blue Nile, and Micah's Cafe. Tell me what you guys think. If you guys go there and taste it, hit me up on our Facebook page at Inside the Lunchbox 1 on our Facebook page. And let us know what restaurant you went in. Let us know, was it good? Was it bad? Was it horrible? Would you go again? Would you not go again? Would you recommend it to anyone? Yeah, just let us know. I'm definitely want to try Phil and Derek's Cajun and Creole because they have live music, and I'm always down for some live music. And I don't drink as much as I used to. I'm a casual drinker. I may drink one beer, but I love to sit down and enjoy some live music, no matter what type of live music it is, whether it's country, hip hop, R&B. It doesn't matter what it is. As long as it's pretty smooth and laid back, I'm all for it. Yeah, so now we're going to get right on into the word of the day. For all your aspiring cooks, all your aspiring chefs, for all the aspiring whoever you are out there, give you a word, and we're going to explain it and tell you what it's used for. The word is Montia Burr. This is a French word. It means finishing sauce with butter or mount with butter. But what it doesn't tell you is it has to be cold, unsalted butter because it's going to emulsify. So what you do is whenever you finish your sauce, you take your cold melted butter and cut it up in little cubes, and you slowly emulsify into your sauce, whisking it slowly so it could infuse into your sauce. So Montia Burr, adding cold unsalted butter to a sauce. This is done at the end of your cooking process. And what this does, it will bring a silky shine texture to your sauce. It will liven it up and also make it, it's butter. Everything goes well with butter. You add butter to it, it's amazing. Butter has good flavor. So yeah, so there, now you're also enhancing the flavor of your sauce. So yeah, definitely try it when you're doing your sauce. Right at the end of the cooking process, start adding you some butter. Don't put the whole block in there. Don't sit up there and put a pound of butter into your sauce and sit up there and try. Nah, that's not good. That's not how you do it. You cut it up in little small cubes, throw it in there, whisk it, throw a little bit more in there, whisk it some more. And then you'll see the texture and you'll see the silky shininess of your butter starting to come out. Alright, so let's go ahead and get right into it. Since I gave you guys the word of the day, let's talk about one of the five mother sauces. One of the five mother sauces. The first one is going to be a bechamel. The bechamel is a mother sauce, and this is going to be the start of our five-part series on mother sauces. We're going to go over bechamel, velouté, tomato, espagnol, and hollandaise, which is my favorite. Also, bechamel is also one of my favorites too as well. All right. So, sauce bechamel. Bechamel. It is a white sauce based with milk, no whole milk. The thickening agent is a white roux. So you do your equal parts flour and your equal parts fat, oil, butter. You would put them together in the pot and you kind of like saute them to kind of cook the flavor of the flour out. Once you've done that, you'll start smelling like an almond smell. And that's when you would add your milk or your cream. The classical way is milk, not cream. So you would add your milk to it, and you will slowly add your flavoring, which is white onions, clove, bay leaves, salt, white pepper, and nutmeg. The classical way of bechamel. Bechamel is definitely a very, very great sauce because you can do so much with it. So much with a bechamel. Like I said, you could with the base sauce bechamel, you have other small sauces that you could make from bechamel. That's why bechamel is called the mother sauce, because it's the start of all the other sauces. You can't have an Alfredo without a bechamel. You can't have a Monet without a bechamel. You could try, but it won't be a true Alfredo or a true bechamel. Now, they do have a sauce called sauce crema, which is heavy whipping cream that is simmered down into kind of like a bechamel, but it's not really because you're still missing the key component, which is a white roux. So bechamel sauce is a staple of many Italian French dishes, including lasagna, a gratin, or a croquette. Gratin is, you ever had scalloped potatoes and you take your bechamel and you're pretty much baking your potatoes inside the bechamel. It's called a gratin. While it has been popularized in French cuisine, bechamel sauce is an Italian origin from the region of Tuscany and Emilia, Romania? Romagna? I don't know the name of that. We're going to pass that in Italian. The sauce is referred to as a bechamel. So it was founded in Italy. Bechamel, but I'm not going to say it was perfected in France, but in France is where they claimed it to be the base of all sauces, deriving from bechamel. So, yeah, they made it in Italy, but they found out in France that, hey, with this sauce, this is the base sauce for all white sauces. You can't do any other white sauce without a bechamel. It was found in Tuscany in 1533 by Chef Louis de Bechamel. Interesting. So he founded it, and then the Italians introduced it to the French, and the French pretty much, I'm not going to say perfected it, that wouldn't be right, but they did bring it together and identified it as one of the five mother sauces. So with bechamel, you could do a lot of different things. One of my favorites, an American's all-time passing time food, especially if you're from the South, mac and cheese. So when you make your mac and cheese, you are actually making, if you make homemade mac and cheese, you are actually making a bechamel. A bechamel sauce. And then you're adding cheese, now it becomes a cheese sauce. So definitely, if you didn't know that you were a French chef and you didn't know that you knew how to make a French sauce, there you go. If you're making mac and cheese, you're making a French sauce. So therefore your mac and cheese is now a gourmet mac and cheese. Yeah, so mac and cheese is one of the greats here in the US. Also, with that, you can make chicken Alfredo or Alfredo sauce. Alfredo sauce is probably my favorite of the sauces. Probably because I grew up on Alfredo sauce, like Italian food. Chicken Alfredo was definitely my go-to. Then you go to a lot of these Cajun restaurants here, they'll do like blackened fish or any type of blackened fish Alfredo, blackened shrimp Alfredo. It just goes so well with so many different things. Definitely try it. So real quick, a more modern recipe also described in 1700s cookbook outlines first melting butter and then frying shallots. Shallots are a type of onion, kind of mellowed out, with parsley and spring onion. Later, cream is added along with the seasoning as well as the extra parsley. And the sauce is served as is without straining. That is, I guess you could say, the modern day style of bechamel, where you don't have to strain it. I'm old school, I guess, or I guess I was taught old school way when I was in culinary school. So I'm going to stick with the making the roux, adding the shallots, making the roux, adding the milk, wait till it simmer. Add your white pepper, and add your nutmeg. That's how I did it when I was in school. That's the way I'm going to continue doing it. So definitely bechamel. Definitely try it. So now since we went over the bechamel, you should definitely try to see what you could do with a bechamel. We're not going to make a mac and cheese, and we're not going to do an Alfredo. You know what? We could do an Alfredo. So your guys' assignment is to make a classical bechamel with milk, with whole milk, no cream. Whether it be Alfredo, Mornay, no mac and cheese. See what you come up with. See if you could get it to your liking. Nutmeg, white pepper. If you have white pepper, definitely use white pepper. One thing I was taught is white sauce, white pepper. White sauce, black pepper. It looks like you have little stuff floating around in your sauce. You don't want that. Once you get done with making your sauce, add some butter to it, and go in at it and see how it worked for you. But I mean, you could add, like, you could do so much with the bechamel. So they have other small sauces that you could use. Like, if you want a steak, you can make the steak with it. But mostly they use it for a lot of pasta because it's real creamy. But yeah, I mean, that's your guys' homework for next time, is to make your own bechamel sauce. Now, one thing I can tell you is that once you start adding your butter into it, if you whisk it too fast, you're probably going to break it. So it has to be done slow. So the best technique I could give you is, once your sauce is done, take it completely off the heat and slowly add your butter in there while slowly whisking it. Slowly whisking it. And that you're going to see it just transform into something delicious. Like, it's going to be very eye-pleasing. And if you want to finish it with a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, do that. But you also remember, if you're going to do it in Alfredo, your Parmesan cheese has salt in it. So you don't want to put too much salt into your sauce in the beginning, because if you're going to add your cheese to it, remember, your cheese has a lot of salt in it. And if you're supposed to use unsalted butter, but if you just happen to only have salted butter, also remember that your salt intake in your butter too, so you don't want to over salt in your sauce. And that's how a lot of times it happens, where if something's too salty, they didn't really pay attention to their ingredients, not knowing that certain ingredients have a higher salt content than other ingredients. And then when they go back and add salt, or in the beginning, they realize it's too much salt. So always, people, always, always, always salt to taste towards the end. You could put a little bit during the beginning, but be very, very mindful that a little bit may go a long way after a while, because you're putting that salt and stuff in there, and you're cooking it and you're reducing it. When you reduce, the liquids leave, the solids stay. So if you're reducing your liquid, but the salt is going to stay. So now you just more salt, less liquid. So just remember that, to salt to taste towards the end of your dish, and you should be fine. You would definitely be fine. I don't know what else to say about bechamel other than that it's a great sauce. Pairing it up with a wine, that would depend on the protein that you're using. I'm this way when you're pairing something up with wine. And this is just me, and I'm probably going to go to culinary blasphemy, wine hell for saying this. Drink whatever you want with your dish. Whatever your taste desires, that's what that food pairs with. If you want a red wine with a chicken or a turkey or any type of meat, do it. That is you. That is your prerogative. You do not have to have a white wine with rabbit, white wine with chicken, red wine with steak. Nah, no. Whatever you want. Now, there is instances where certain wines does pair well with certain protein, and it's because the way that it was processed. And maybe the same notes that are in the wine, you probably could find it in somewhere else in your dish. But other than that, man, when you're cooking your stuff, when you're cooking your cuisine, if you want wine, what wine goes good with this? What wine goes, whatever you want, whatever you want. Go get your wine, drink it, have fun, enjoy your meal, enjoy your dish. Other than that, that was bechamel. Have fun with it. See what you could do with it. Contact me on my Facebook page. And you guys have a great, great weekend.